Dolly Show. I'm just going to say that and slowly walk away. The show starts now.
Should the American public understand? It's not only safety when you inject somebody and they get maybe an idiosyncratic reaction, they get a little allergic reaction, they get pain. There's safety associated. Does the vaccine make you worse? And there are diseases in which you vaccinate someone, they get infected with what you're trying to protect them with, and you actually enhance the infection. You can get a good feel for that in animal models. So that's going to be interspersed at the same time that we're testing. We're going to try and make sure we don't have enhancement. So the worst possible thing you could do is vaccinate somebody to prevent infection and actually make them worse.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
It's always interesting to hear what Fauci has to say, right? The little credent Hitler that is wrong about everything, who today says 100,000 new cases are coming. Gee, could it be because they redefined it to basically America? I think they should just say America has COVID. Let's just get it over with. I mean, why the slow response? Let's just say everybody has it. Everybody's got virus in their system. So I say we say the whole nation has COVID. That's what I say. Then everybody could stop wearing the masks, right?
Exactly.
The whole nation, right? Let's just say we all have it. I mean, it's kind of like sending people with chicken pox over to the neighbors.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Why not? Come on.
I'll tell you why not.
Why?
People will die.
Yes, everyone will die. Everyone will die. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. A lot in this hour we're going to cover, so I hope you're ready. Just pull the car over if you're listening in your car. I've got Uncle Milty with me, and of course, Mary Burkett joins me to talk about your ballot today. Today's the last day. Hi, Mary.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know what? Good. You know, a lot of people... And this is a trend I'm noticing. A lot of people are giving up.
Mm.
They're saying, my vote doesn't count. They're all liars, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. I get it. But right. Folks, please don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you and I can control is voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing. And that's how we send a message to the people who are running. We let them know we're watching.
Right.
And we have to be vigilant, more vigilant than ever in our whole lifetime. You know, if you've thrown your ballot away, grab it, get it out of the trash, fill it out, get it delivered. It's really easy to go over to the county courthouse if you live in another county.
Right.
You've got them everywhere. Our county courthouse, I didn't mean that. I meant the county commission offices.
Mm-hmm.
There's a box right there. Or you just pop it in. It's easy to do. There are obviously specific people I want you to vote for, and I'll say that in a minute. But for right now, please, please, please don't give up.
Okay.
We can't give up. We can't afford it. We can't afford it,
mm-hmm.
you know, spiritually, emotionally,
right.
intellectually. We can't afford it.
Okay.
Get involved. Fill out that ballot. Get it delivered. Because this is a golden opportunity to send that message. We are watching you. And if you don't do the job you said you were going to do, you're going to be gone in 4 years or 2 years or whatever it is.
Right.
Obviously, I want people to vote for Greg Hughes for governor. I want them to vote for David Leavitt for attorney general. He's already started the process in Utah County of justice reform. We need criminal justice reform.
Right.
And it'd be great to have somebody as attorney general who will take the lead and show the other 49 states how to do it. And Willie Billings, for state legislature. Great guy, great conservative, great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I like Willie.
I wish I did because I would vote for him.
I like Willie, and we need to get Brad Last needs to go. He's written too many of our tax
yeah,
bills.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Willie's great.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, 18 years, and he's never met a tax increase he didn't like.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So yeah, we need to send him home, and mm-hmm. we need to get Willie in office. But please, folks, whoever you vote for, please vote. Help send the message that we are watching, we are engaged. And when we don't vote, the message we send is it's okay for you guys to continue lying to us.
Right.
It's okay for you to tell us one thing and go do another.
Right.
It's not okay. And the only way we show them it's not okay is by voter turnout. And we can control that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. Really appreciate your call.
Sure.
Really. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, ballots go in today and a lot of things. In fact, I do want to mention this. I do want to mention this because I don't think we really get it. A year ago, the tourism director, Kevin Lewis, hired a firm called Cactus out of Colorado. And Cactus out of Colorado was supposed to help us because I guess we can't understand how to rebrand. And I don't think anyone in Utah is obviously talented enough to do it. So we had to go out of Utah, maybe to keep it quiet. Did I say that out loud? Ouch. Okay. So we go to hire this firm, Cactus, and they rebrand to Greater Zion. And Kevin Lewis last year gave a talk about Greater Zion. And in this talk, he talked about the fact that this was a very, very needed thing because, now let me give you the kicker. This was the reason. The brand audit was conducted by the tourism office, okay, early in the year last year, and that all the data and research necessary to reevaluate the state of tourism because they wanted to have more pull to come to Zion's. So it found out that Washington County name, get this, was far too common and a good option for a destination and not a good option, I'm sorry, for a destination brand for visitors to the city. I know when I go look up a place I want to go see, I look at the county name to decide if I'm going to go there or not. And I go, wow, is it too bland or is it exciting enough? Woohoo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things with me is every time I'm on the internet and I want to see something that's going on with the county commission, I end up in Kentucky. Because I don't know Utah exists.
Yeah, I mean, and so when people come to Zion, the first thing they check out is our Washington County name, which has nothing to do with their visit, their stay, or even wanting to come here. But this was the guise that was used in order to overhaul the change. Because you can't stand up at a podium and say you want to kick the word Dixie to the curb. Why would you do that? It's career suicide. So what do? You blame it on the county name. And all the commissioners were on board with this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them fool you. This whole, we didn't know, we were living in a cave. Is there something going on with Black Lives Matters? Are we getting peer pressured to get rid of the word Dixie? What? Yeah, don't believe that for a hot second. Anyway, so they went ahead and they did this whole, we need greater tourism because we need to change Washington County. So they changed the Dixie Center to Greater Zion. His title, Director of Tourism, Kevin Lewis, was changed to the same thing, Greater Zion. And you and I paid for it. We all pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
We all pay for them to do this.
And rebranding's not cheap.
No. Oh, no. They hired a really good firm out of Colorado. Yeah. I don't remember ever giving
money.
A say-so on that one. Yeah. And all because we needed more travelers. I think we have enough travelers. I think that's been our a little bit of a problem for most people around here. I think we have enough traffic. So anyway, so they said, we're sitting on the fourth most visited park in the country. We're sitting on a gold mine. Well, listen, folks, at the We're So Smart Tourism Office, if it's already ranked number four, okay, in the country, it's already done itself a good job. No, you don't even need to be there.
Yeah.
You don't even need your job.
Well, if they want to get to number one.
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe this crap? This nonsense? So they're using the park as the focal point because people can't find it on their own. They found it on their own. How do you think we got to number four? Oh, my gosh, the insanity. And then all the commissioners are backpedaling. They met yesterday, but they didn't decide to reverse their decision. So now they're backpedaling going, we didn't know we were living in a cave. Did we offend you? And by the way, Victor Iverson, a student body president, 1993, What did he try to do at
Dixie?
He
got rid of the rebel flag.
Oh, wow. Why?
Because it was offensive to some people.
This is Victor Ivers, the county commissioner.
It was offensive to some people. Hmm. And he started the process of getting away with the rebel mascot. They tried that year to do it, but mm-hmm. they didn't get it done. No. It took until 2009 to get that done.
Yeah, but they sure got the ball rolling a long time ago with people that say they care about this city. And now they're trying to take down the Covington statue. So these are a couple of whiny brats, whiny liberals throwing a tantrum and saying it means slavery. And so who do they go to comment for this in the papers? They go to Black Lives Matter, Troy Anderson, who came from Salt Lake a year ago. Like his opinion even matters. The guy is bought and paid for through Black Lives Matters to say these things in our press. He's not even from here. He has no idea the history of the statue. Ask him. He doesn't have a clue. In fact, I'll tell you the history of that statue. But this is what makes me sick. It's this kind of stuff. And you should be mad, too. This is not okay to hire all these outside firms. The St. George City did this with the whole bike path thing, too. They went to North Carolina. I'm sorry, do we not have anybody that is qualified here, or do they just try to keep this stuff quiet? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Kate.
Sure.
As much as I like Mary, I have to disagree with her. Mm-hmm. I liked Greg Hughes the first time I heard him mm-hmm. until he selected Victor Iverson, and I just like Victor Iverson more than I like Greg Hughes, so mm-hmm. I did not vote for Greg Hughes. Mm-hmm. So I disagree with Mary. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and voted for Sean Reyes because Levitt is anti-Trump.
Mm. Anyway, okay. Well, thank you for your mm-hmm. thoughts. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. We'll take some more calls after the break. But, we got some stuff going on. And isn't it interesting that none of these people wanted the statues removed when we were in the middle of COVID or even last December or even last year? Oh, no, it was a couple of years. It's always in an election year, too. It's kind of strange. But whenever Black Lives Matters gets busy, then all across the nation, these bumbleheads go, oh, I want to get rid of a statue. And they present to you racism. It doesn't even matter the story. It's just racist. And they want to take it down. No way, I say. No way is this going to happen. You know what? Our history is worth preserving, and there's something very special to history. When you go around and start erasing it, it's a joke.
We could keep part of what they've done and call it Greater Dixie.
Yeah, why didn't they go with Greater Dixie? It's a great thought. Wonder why they didn't go with that.
They don't think.
Why don't
Dixie's
we ask the county commissioners and Mayor Pike and all the rest? Huh. Be right back, Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back to the Daly Show. So glad you're tuned in today. Make sure that you go over to ABC Auto Body Central. Those guys are awesome. They'll fix your car. And they're so reasonable. They're so honest. And they'll get it done quick. They'll work with your insurance company for you. So if I were you, ABC would be my choice. If I got in a car accident, for them to work with my insurance company, man, they are good. I know this because I did that with them and they fixed my car after my teenager crashed it. So all I'm saying is get over to ABC Auto Body Central. These guys are amazing. They really are. And they're good to work with. Wow. Been so impressed with them. I tell everybody about them. All right, we'll start out with a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I agree with the last caller, but I voted for Greg Hughes to mm-hmm. get rid of Iverson. So hopefully that works.
I understand that. That makes sense when you think about it.
That's funny.
Yeah, he'd be up in Salt Lake City.
And there's a lot of people that like him out there. And listen. This is a weird, weird race. This is a weird election because I'm not seeing tremendous standouts. It's a tough election. Yeah.
One thing that bothers me is I've been accused by several people of disliking a person.
Right, right.
I don't dislike a person. I dislike a person's politics.
Yeah. I don't
There's
know why
people... There's a big difference
there. Yeah, but you know what's really interesting about... Now, listen to this. The politicians will always take it personal and reflect back that you're attacking them. This is why John Pike tells everybody I'm full of hate speech toward him. I'm not. I don't like anything he does in office. Now, as a person, he's fine. And a lot of these people, as people, they're fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just as in any kind of situation where they are in charge of your freedom or liberty, this is where I have a problem with them. But they're the ones that take it personally. It's very interesting. I always find that kind of odd. But anyway, hi, caller. Welcome to the show. I know I'm trying. So let me say this. They're trying to pull down, or they want to pull down, the statue. Okay. And this is the Covington statue. And the Covington statue, I had a great letter from Kimball, who wrote a fantastic note about this statue. And he said, look, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are flawed people, and they went through a period of time in which they made decisions and then course corrected, made different decisions. And isn't that all of us? Mm-hmm. Doesn't that explain everybody that's ever lived?
Course.
I mean, give me a break. So these people like Troy Anderson, what a buffoon, from Black Lives Matter, that transplanted himself down here courtesy of Black Lives Matters, is out there telling everybody that this statue needs to come down. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Now, this was a time when, as Kimball says, you know, that cotton was, you know, farmed, and using the technologies of the day was not a financially viable operation without the use of slave labor. And it was also most likely taught that the abuse of slaves was the only way to get maximum efficiency and effectiveness from the slave force. I'm going to disagree a little bit, because it wasn't all abusive. Yes, slavery existed, but I mean, to make it so that they were all horsewhipped every 5 seconds it's not accurate. So I want to make sure we actually go with an accurate picture there. But he says, so does having a statue of this individual honor and teach us of his time? You know, and would it appear so? It's not willing to learn from the rest of the history. This individual, when taught of a better way, a better understanding of the value of those around us, gave up slavery. He removed himself from an environment that expected the use of slaves. He came to Utah, going with a group that had been run out by Missouri by mob tactics and an order by the governor making it legal to kill individuals based on their religious beliefs, an order that was not rescinded until 1976, by the way. And this order was made up in part due to the fear that this religious group would vote out slavery in the state. And Robert Covington chose to be in this group. This is the Robert Covington statue.
Mm-hmm.
And so he later used this knowledge he had gained in farming to attempt to grow cotton in southern Utah, which was met with a high degree of success. And he also created a community out of the desert. So the question is, do you bring down a statue if you're not even going to tell the full history of the statue? My gosh, what is our problem? Let's tell the full history. Let's learn from the statue. Let's look at this person who was obviously part of the creation of this community and say, hey, awesome, we're here because he was here. This is great. Why can we not do this? I don't understand these people like Troy Anderson. No, I do. They're bought and paid for. And you know what? They're directed. And there's a reason that Biff, over at the president of Dixie College, would love, I think, to get rid of Dixie, because he even allows Black Lives Matters to station themselves there. Troy Anderson wasn't a student. He's too old. He's not a student there. So to allow this, and on the board sits the mayor, there's a problem there. There's a real big problem that we're not addressing. And I think that you tell the whole history of somebody. How would you like it if somebody only focused on a couple of parts of your life and not all the other great parts? Give me a break. Hi, caller. These people are so one-dimensional, these liberals, so whiny. Hi, caller. You're live. Go right ahead.
So after we're done with the statue, I guess we're going to have to go after the cotton mill.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that makes about as much sense.
Yep.
Well, there is no... It's senseless.
Yeah, it's senseless.
Anyway,
yeah.
It is senseless. Anyway, I'm always waiting for the next shoe to fall.
Yeah.
With what's going on, and I think that the next shoe fell last night. It was announced that there is a new virus that has been found. Guess where it was found?
Where?
China.
Oh, another one.
White Gummer said, surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, and what they said is that this virus has the potential to be a new pandemic.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to worry about because it's all under control.
Right, right. Yep,
you really think that, I mean, can anybody even believe that?
No. Thank you for that. And by the way, to come up with a vaccine this quick, they've never been able to do it in history. And guess what? We still don't have a SARS vaccine. And so nobody's clamoring for these things. Have you noticed that? I do have Fauci on tape. I just have to find it, where he actually admits in a 60-minute interview where he says, well, your body can do it 97.7% of the time, but we'll have a vaccine that will help. What, in the other 3%? That's why this is so insane. I hope nobody's actually going to put that in their body. Hell knows what's in that thing. I would never inject that into my body. And on the statue, by the way, a lot of people from this period of time were raised in a period of time where slavery was something that was part of what was going on. That was just part of their experience growing up and owning property. Now, does that say it's right or wrong? It doesn't matter. It was the time period in which they lived. There was a time period in which women wore long dresses and bonnets, no matter what they did and where they went. I'm in a different time period. I'm wearing a t-shirt and jeans today. I can't go back and judge that. I can't go back and judge and say, we're supposed to learn about history, not judge it from the time that we live in. This is the problem of these whiny liberals out there who think that they are the ones to save us from our history. They just want to erase it. They don't want to save us from it. They want to erase it. So there's no history. Who are these people? Who are these sickos? I think there's one that's behind the petition right now. I think her husband is actually a therapist here in our city. And I'll have to get her a name again. And you know what? These people need to go. You don't like our history? Leave. I like our history. I don't mind our history.
You know what's amazing to me about the statue thing?
What's that?
It's not the students at Dixie State University that are clamoring about this.
Yeah.
It's a professor.
Oh, yeah. These are professors.
Yeah.
Oh, very liberal professors that moved here. Yes. And isn't their timing always just perfect? Or they can't think for themselves. It has to go right along with the Black Lives Matters and Antifa, rolling across the country. That's usually when they tag on their little, let's take down a statue while nobody's watching. And I do think that's why they went with the Greater Zion, the changing of the name of the Dixie Center now, because don't let them fool you and tell you that we didn't know what was going on. We were living in a cave. No, they knew full well because they used it as opportunists to take advantage of this time. That's exactly what they were doing. Hi, caller. You got 30 seconds. Sorry about that. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate, something Uncle Milty just said, and you mirrored about the difference between disliking somebody politically and personally.
Uh-huh.
I agree to some extent, but at the same time, if somebody like Mayor Pike will take a knee in solidarity with slime like Black Lives Matter, whether he's doing it for political expediency or whether he believes that in his soul, it makes him somebody that I have no interest hanging out with.
Oh, I didn't say I want to do lunch. Oh, yeah.
But that's not
okay,
hating.
Now, let's talk about the difference of wanting to do lunch and just saying they're probably a nice father and husband and everything else. So,
yes.
Okay.
I can agree with that part.
All right.
Okay.
I don't want to be besties.
We agree. We don't hate them, but we won't have lunch with
them.
There's
such a difference. Yeah, there's such a difference. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
You have got to get the word out, Kate, about Costco. Mm-hmm. I was there this morning, they have hundreds, if not literally thousands, of paper cups like you would give to your children that say Dixie right on them.
Really?
Dixie cups?
How dare they?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes. You better get Black Lives Matter after Costco, please.
I know. You liberals over there at the college, are you paying attention?
Spread the word.
Thank you. Really appreciate really appreciate that.
That's a big one.
That's huge.
That's huge.
Darn you, Dixie Cup.
I think I remember at the convention center, getting a Dixie cup with a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know what? There's a reason that we have these statues, and they're to remember a time in history when we formed a community. Yes. And obviously these liberals and Troy Anderson of the BLM and all these ridiculous people with totally ignorant people just have no concept of that whatsoever. You know, to make a community, why aren't they proud of that? Why aren't they? You can put your focus anywhere you want it, folks. And I think that the focus should be on the development of a community and sticking it out and making this hot hell of an oven area that we live in work for us. That's what I think. That's what I focus on.
You know, they make it sound as if at the base of the statue is a bronze plaque that said, "From the great days of slavery."
Yes, thank you. Amen.
It doesn't say that.
Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't say how he loved slaves. Oh my gosh. No, it doesn't. You know what? We need to get a little louder on this because these little progressive liberals out there think they rule the day. And guess who listens to them? The elected officials that you voted for. That's who listens to them. And this is why we're kicking Dixie to the curb. We've been doing it for 2 decades. And you know what? It's pathetic. Don't let them do that to our history. And I know all of you care about our history. And I just don't want to see that happen. It's wrong. It's wrong. And you know what? These couple of people, do you know, I mean, my gosh, what? Over 15,000 people had signed that petition yesterday within 24 hours to keep Dixie on everything. And it was only under 2,000 that signed it to go. So if that tells you anything, it's just that we're not the loud ones. And the media, who do they run to for comment? They run to the small liberal group. So this is why it's hard to trust media.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's who they're running to for comment. Mm-hmm. Why in the world would they call Troy Anderson, who just moved here for Black Lives Matters? Give me a break. What a joke. What a joke to go after him for comment. So no. And they use the whole guys that Washington County was too boring of a name to attract people. Nobody looks at the county name to go visit an attraction. It doesn't even come up. I can't believe people sitting in that audience were gullible enough to believe that. I can't even believe nobody stood up and went, "What in the world are you talking about, Kevin Lewis?" Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Tomorrow all the things were gone. I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again. Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men.
Had to play on to the chorus of that. You can't listen to this without playing the chorus.
God bless the USA.
I know. I always love this week. We always focus on this music, and I love it, and it always brings a smile to my face. Welcome back to the show. I've got Uncle Milty here, and I also have an author with us, Jeff McKenna. How are you?
Great.
Excellent.
Great to be here.
Local author. And let me tell you, you need to check out this book. It's called Saving Dr. Warren, A True Patriot. And not only does this cover history of all kinds that are near and dear to our heart, right? This story, tell us a little bit about this story, Jeff, and how you came to write this.
Well, you know, Kate, you always can ask somebody in this country, have you ever heard of Dr. Joseph Warren? And 99% will say no, they haven't. And then the second question is, have you ever heard of Paul Revere? And then they laugh at you and they look,
right,
what
of
are
course.
You
talking? Who hasn't?
And then you ask the third question, who sent Paul Revere on that ride? Who was Paul Revere's mentor, best buddy? And it was Dr. Joseph Warren. If you had told Paul Revere 250 years ago he would be more famous than Dr. Warren, he would have had a belly laugh. Because Dr. Warren has more geographical landmarks named after him than any founding father except George Washington himself. And yet he's been forgotten. And largely, he was forgotten because in 1861, an amazing poet and an amazing patriot by the name of Henry Longfellow wrote The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. And in there, there's no mention of actually who sent him on the ride and who is the
Paul Revere's
mentor.
There's like no focus on this.
And all of a sudden, Paul Revere became the person we focused on.
I always think it's amazing that a lot of the signers are never talked about. I mean, all these men that were heroes and really took this huge risk, and people like Dr. Warren not talked about in history. Why do you think they're bypassed?
Good question. I mean, in this situation, it was because Paul Revere became the focal point because of that piece of kind of social media. In that at that time, it was a poem by a very famous poet. So when you look at the book, it's called Saving Dr. Warren, and it's kind of got a double meaning in there, and that my main character, a 14-year-old boy, is having these experiences in time travel with Dr. Warren with the idea that he's going to save him from the Battle of Bunker Hill. Dr. Warren dies at Bunker Hill. If you go to Bunker Hill at the end of the Freedom Trail, huge monument. It was originally constructed on the location where Dr. Warren died and where he was buried. It was amazing. But anyways, my boy is thinking, I've got to save him. I've got to save him. And he realizes, I don't want to give away the book, but he realizes that there's another way that you can save him. And you can write a book and you can have something that in the book records these memories of this great hero. And my boy, my main character, this 14-year-old boy, has this transition from being just a regular 14-year-old boy like, you know, I was, like Uncle Milty was, like all of us were, where we're like, country, United States, I'm in an essay contest. I can win $500. I'll write about patriotism if it'll win me $500. And then that ends up spurring on these opportunities.
The learning opportunity.
And a transformation opportunity.
Wow. So when you were doing this, because I've noticed a lot of books are written in this style, and I actually do think it really captures the reader, you know, when they can kind of go through a story about it. I've noticed this a lot, and I'm actually grateful for that because I think it resonates with people. When you're telling, first of all, what made you discover Dr. Joseph Warren? If he's so little talked about in history, which he really is, what made you discover him?
That's a great question, Kate. So 20 years ago, I've been working on this book for 20 years. 20 years ago, my wife knows I've always loved history.
Right.
I'm an estate planning attorney. I'm not a historian, but I love history. I love studying the founding of our country. And so she gives me a book called Rebels and Redcoats, written in the 1950s. And in the very first chapter, it talks about Paul Revere walking the nights of Boston. It's dark, and he's getting to somebody's door, and he's going to knock on that door. And they open up the door, and that is Dr. Warren telling him what he needs to do. And I'm like, wait a second. Who's telling Paul Revere what to do?
Right.
And I realize, who is this Dr. Warren? And that was my first introduction to him, Kate. And at that point, 20 years ago, I thought, how cool it would be to actually write a book about Dr. Warren.
Yeah. Tell us about him, too. Uncle Milty, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Tell us about him.
Well, Dr. Warren's amazing. I mean, Dr. Warren will end up... He's the one that is in charge of everything when Sam Adams and John Hancock leave Boston in the spring of 1775, just before the revolution starts. It's so heated there that they get out, and he's the next one in command. And he's in command of everything, Kate. He is in charge. He's in charge of the spy network. He's the one that gets the information and knows the British are moving.
Right.
To this date, Kate, we do not know how he got that information for sure, but he got it. An interesting tidbit is that the General Gage's wife was an American from New Jersey. Dr. Warren lost all of his clients that were the rich, tied to England kind of clients. Mm-hmm. He'd only get those that were loyal to the Americas and the Patriots, the rebels, so to speak, but not her. She stayed a patient of Dr. Warren. And so this, and then right after, because for General Gage to lose that element of surprise, to not to have all of those people confront him because Revere and Dawes had went out there and had warned the countryside, it was devastating. Right after that, he sends his wife, Margaret, back to England. Could be because he wanted to protect her for safety. Could have been that he was like trying to figure out who spilled the beans here. But
seriously.
So Dr. Warren is involved in all of this. He's the only one that speaks at the Boston Massacre two times. He does it March 5th of 1775. Just on the eve of the revolution. The revolution's going to start in April. On March, he's getting in front of, you know, all of Boston to speak. And the British made it clear, hey, we're done with this commemoration of the Boston Massacre. Anybody that gets up and speaks, they're going to leave this church with a noose around their neck.
Right.
And Warren was the one that said, I'll do it. Even though it was his second time, he's the only one that spoke at two different occasions. And he gets up and gives just an amazing discourse. And so he's just, he's an amazing guy. He goes to Bunker Hill. In fact, I mean, Ronald Reagan, I end the book with a little bit of a note by author Kate, where Ronald Reagan in 1980 quotes Dr. Warren. And in that quote, he says, most Americans are not familiar with this patriot because he dies so early. He dies at Bunker Hill. But the quote is a powerful quote, and I'll just kind of read.
Yeah.
So if I could just read it, just says that this is what Ronald Reagan quotes in his inaugural address. Dr. Warren had said that Ronald Reagan is quoting in 1980. Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question upon which rests the happiness and the liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourself.
Ooh.
And then Reagan just goes on to say, well, I believe we, the Americans of today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves, ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. And I just think that's so apropos in what we're experiencing in our country. And the idea that we can rebring, I mean, he was so famous, Kate, in his day. When he dies at Bunker Hill, that resonates across all 13 colonies because he was the head Mason for all of North America.
Wow.
So all of the Masons, and we know that there were a lot of the founding fathers that were in the Masonic organization, they all knew of Joseph Warren. And so when he dies, it resonates that this isn't just a little squabble that those Bostonians, those New Englanders are causing trouble again. It was like, this is real.
Yeah.
This is big. And they all kind of come together, and that's the beginning of, you know, the battles and the wars.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We're still in trouble. You know, you think you create a country, you get to the part where you, for the first time in history, create a, where the government is supposed to be owned by the people. We're not, sadly, anymore, but it's supposed to be that way. And you look and you look at all these problems we're having right now. We're in such danger right now, and it has never changed because it's like there's so many people out there that think that it was a gift given, but they don't have to do anything for the gift.
That's the message.
Yeah.
That truly is the message of this book to this 14-year-old boy, is the idea that, you know what? Patriotism means that you do something. His essay, the essay contest that starts it all, is what does patriotism mean after 9/11? The book takes place in 2001, right after 9/11, which is a very patriotic time. And that idea of what does patriotism mean? And the conclusion is it means you do something. You do something to make your country better and appreciate the great country you have.
I love that. Yeah.
So you also have a nonprofit organization, right? Now, what's the goal of that?
It's called Help Patriotism Prevail, and it literally was created 2 weeks ago when I had a client, Uncle Milty, that said, hey, I want to help get these books into a classroom. I want to get 14 and 15-year-olds to actually be able to read it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a check. What do you need? Oh, $290. I'll write it.
Great.
And then he said, Kate, who do I make it payable to? And I thought, well, Jeff McKenna, but that sounded kind of weird. And I thought, you know what? We can create something. I'm a lawyer. I can do this.
Yeah, right.
So we created a Utah nonprofit called Help Patriotism Prevail. And the idea behind it is, one, to sponsor essay contest that would tie to the book, just like the book.
Sure,
the whole
sure.
book stems around this one essay, and it's just kind of a fun play on that. But also the idea that, you know, donations could be made so that books could go in the classroom. I'm not taking a nickel. I'm blessed. Yeah, I've got a great professional career. It's all about trying to get these books to
kids. This education.
Yes.
Yes, this education. Instead of letting Black Lives Matters go and teach our kids history. Oh, good gravy. You know, let's get into their hands what true courage looks like. What a patriot. Because these people put everything on the line. I mean, we have a hard time clicking like on a post. You know what I mean? I mean, we're just, our way of trying to get out there and do something is to say something on social media. That's our you know, bravado now. But I'm telling you, these people knew. They knew what that sacrifice had to look like.
What a killer analogy, right? I wrote a funny. I mean, our courage is to hit click or do social.
Yeah.
Media. He goes to Bunker Hill as a widower. He his wife and Paul Revere's wife will die within 2 weeks of each other.
Wow.
There in Boston, and he had to be he was the doctor for both his wife and for his best buddy's wife, and they die within 2 weeks. He doesn't remarry. He has four children. When he marches to go to Bunker Hill, and they literally posted a guard in front of his, where he was sleeping, saying, you're not going. You're the president of the Provincial Congress of Massachusetts. You're not going up on that hill and fighting.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm the one that said, get these guys here, build a fort in a night, and they'll take on the greatest empire behind the fort that they built in one night. I will be there. They need me there. They need, and they said, wow. They posted a guard, and then the guard kind of left because it was kind of late in the day. He snuck away, got to the hill with four little kids, knowing there's a good chance he's not going to come back, and he didn't come back. And just the last thing I'll share about that, because like you were saying, mm-hmm. Kate, that's like giving all.
Yeah.
In our own state, in the very end of the book, and mm-hmm. I have a page called Patriots Page, and it has a picture of our own Brent Taylor, who was a major mm-hmm. in the Utah National Guard mm-hmm. up in Ogden. Mm-hmm. He goes to fight on his fourth tour of duty, does not come back. Mm-hmm. Seven children. Mm-hmm. And he dies in Afghanistan, giving it all. And his beautiful wife spoke here at Spilsbury Mortuary in Veterans mm-hmm. Day, mm-hmm. and her title of her talk was The Price of Freedom. Mm-hmm. And she says, the price mm-hmm. that my husband paid right. and our family paid was his yeah, life.
The ultimate
price. And he says, she says, is that too much? And the whole speech was, no, my husband would do it even if he knew wow. that was going to be the result. So you see, you see these patriots and you're like, we can give more mm-hmm. to what they gave all for. Yeah. But Brent Taylor's got a little cameo role at the right. very end. Mm-hmm. He's in my character gets to meet him right there at Bunker mm-hmm. Hill and da da da. It's kind of funny in modern day Boston at the end
that
of Bunker Hill.
That is awesome. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so the American Legion is having a fundraiser this weekend on the 4th of July mm-hmm. at Tahnequin Cemetery from 9 to 11 a.m.
On Saturday.
On Saturday. And Jeff is mm-hmm. going to be there signing his book for you.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yep. And it all goes to American Legion. All of the funds that's go to awesome. American Legion as a fundraiser. And also, Uncle Milty and Kate, we're going to have a historical flag display. There's going to be a presentation there. Cool. The American mm-hmm. Legion will do it. We'll have flags going mm-hmm. all the way back to before Bunker Hill, the Don't Tread on Me, the Civil War flag, the 1812 flag. All of those flags will be there on display with a little bit about them and their history.
I love that. If you want to take a selfie, go with all the flags on and take a selfie there. I love that. And I also love that you're doing this. I've got a lot of family involved with American Legion, and what a great cause that is. So, of course, Tahnequin Cemetery this Saturday, 9 o'clock, 9 to 11. Make sure you go down and see this great visual of the flags. What a great opportunity to do that right on the 4th of July. Yeah. That's awesome. And I always commend diving in and writing a book like this, because when you can let people know about a part of our history, you know, it's I interviewed the head of the Bercher Society, and, you know, he wrote a book, you know, to the victors go the monuments. And we hear about only certain people in history. And there's so many more with such big stories to tell about their own courage and displays of sacrifice. And so I'm always interested in the stories we don't get to hear. I really appreciate this. Jeff McKenna, thank you. And you can get this book online, too.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Amazon.com.
Saving
Dr. Warren,
a true patriot. On Saturday. Go down and see him from 9 to 11, Tahnequin Cemetery. And the money goes to American Legion, a great cause. Uncle Milty and I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls on all the more national issues that we'll talk about. And appreciate all your involvement in these local hours. They'll be up on podcasts. Please share. And be right back on The Kate Daly Show.